Good morning. We'll give you a warm welcome this morning. We're low in numbers, but half the church are away to Pitwalkery today. So we hope the Lord gives them their blessing as they travel there and have a fellowship and a wonderful time. And I'm sure we're going to have a wonderful time here also. The notice is this morning is that we're going to welcome Derek and Anne from Gorgie Mission. And Derek's been here three times, I think, preaching. So we hope the Lord will give and a blessing also. So we give you a warm welcome to it, and also Anne. There's no prayer meeting this Wednesday, but there is house groups. The house groups are at Evan and Ronnie Collard's, and also Lynn and Mal Cook. And it's 7:30 for these house groups. So again, you're welcome to go along to any of these house groups. Coffee morning is this Thursday, and that's at 10:30. And again, that's open to all. So if you feel you've got a free hour or something on Thursday, come along to the coffee morning and have a wee chat. Next week, Sunday, Sunday services, God willing, is 11 o'clock. And in the morning, it's David Court. And in the evening, we have James Burnett. But tonight, at 6 o'clock, we have Mal Cook preaching. So again, you're encouraged to come along to Mal. And there's also tea and coffee available at the end of the service for those who want to stay back for a wee catch up and a wee weather. And it's lovely to see a couple of visitors, like Phil's nephew. Yes, we'll give you a warm welcome also. So we're going to stand to sing, but first we've got a call to worship, and it's Psalm 66. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth, sing the glory of his name, and make his praise glorious. I'm going to stand after the introduction of Psalm 84, how lovely is thy dwelling place. And after we're doing that song, Derek's going to come up and lead the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Introduced me, but my name is Derek, I'm actually an elder at Nidri Community Church, but I'm also looking after Gordy Mission on the other side of the city. I have been doing that for the last 3.5 years. I have been here before quite a few times, so it's great to be back, and it's lovely to see all your happy smiling faces. Go on, give me a smile. I'm a bit of a rarity, actually, because I belong to a Baptist church, but I was trained by the Presbyterians. I went to ETS. When I went, it was Free Church College. So I call myself a Baptist Presbyterian. Anyway, we're here to worship God. We're here to hear what God has to say to us through His Word, because God speaks clearly to us through His Word when we open it up. And that's a wonderful thing, to hear God Almighty speaking into our lives. We're going to bow our heads now and we're going to pray. And we're going to thank God for all He's done for us, and we're going to thank God too for the opportunity that we have to meet together here and to worship Him. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank You that we can come into Your house this morning. And we thank You, Lord, that as we come into Your house, we come in to worship You and to praise You for who You are and for all that You have done for us. We thank You, Lord, for the way You've revealed Yourself to us through the wonders of Your creation. We thank You also for the way You reveal Yourself to us through Your Word. But more than anything, we thank You for the way that You have shown Yourself through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus said, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father also. So we thank You for Your wonderful and marvelous revelation to each and every one of us. We thank You also, Lord, for Your wonderful gift of salvation that's held out to us in Jesus. We thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, for His perfect life, for His death on the cross, and for His resurrection, and for His ascension. And we know that even today, He's seated at Your right hand, interceding for us. We thank You for the many blessings we receive from You. We thank You for the way that You clothe us, for our homes, for our roof over our head. And for the way also, Lord, that You provide food on our tables. We thank You, Lord, too, for the way that You are able to guide us and help us. And we know that You do so through Your Word. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, those of us who have accepted Him as our Lord and Saviour, we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit, the One who leads us into all truth, the One who enables us and empowers us to live the Christian life, and the One also who is able to point us to Jesus. So we thank You for our wonderful Saviour today, and we pray, Lord, as we are in this place, that You would help us to worship You in the Spirit and in truth. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you turn with me in your Bibles, in the Old Testament, to one of the minor prophets, Habakkuk, and we're going to be reading chapter 3 together. So it's Habakkuk chapter 3. O Lord, I have heard the report of You and Your work, O Lord, do I fear. And in the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from His hand. And there He veiled His power. And before Him went pestilence and plague, followed at His heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea? When you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation, you stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and withered. The raging waters wept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their place. And at the light of the arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear, you marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced him with his own arrows and heads of his warriors. You came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if you devoured the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of the mighty waters. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig trees should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Amen. And may God bless the reading of his word to each and every one of us. One of the wonderful things we can do is pray together. And it's always important for us to be able to pray. The disciples went to Jesus and they said to Jesus, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. So we're going to stand together and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. So if you stand, let's pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We've got our wonderful presenter who's going to come up again and we're going to sing another hymn together. And it's Behold Our God. And if you're able, we'll stand and sing. If not, just remain seated.
Who can teach the one who knows all things? Who can find
Answers us. He's a God who knows every single detail of our lives and the lives of others. So he knows what we need and he knows how to answer our prayers. Often we come to God and we expect God to answer in a particular way. But God always answers in the right way. So it's great to be able to pray for others, to bring them to the Lord, to know that he knows what they're going through. So let's bow our heads and let's pray for the needs of this fellowship. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of love. We thank you that you are a God of mercy. And that you are a God of grace. We would pray especially this morning for those in our family and amongst our friends, those that we work beside, those that we are close to. We would pray for their salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would touch them with the gospel, that they in turn might come to see their great need of salvation and turn to Jesus. We pray for ourselves, Lord, and the opportunities that you give us to reach out to others with the gospel. We pray that you would help us to take these opportunities and to speak boldly for Jesus. We thank you also, Lord, for the way that we can bring those to you this morning who particularly need our prayers within this fellowship. Anyone who is suffering through ill health, anyone who is suffering with family problems, anyone who is suffering also because of the fact that they are a Christian. And we know, Lord, that the scriptures teach us that if we belong to Christ, we can expect to suffer. So we pray that you would be near to each and every one of them. We thank you, as we have already said, Lord, that you are a God who knows every detail of our lives. So draw near to those who are suffering at this time, who need our prayers, and answer our prayers, Lord, according to your holy will. We pray for those who are away this weekend. We thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, for the way that they are able to reach out to this community. So we thank you that some of them have been able to get this break away. We pray that they might have been blessed through the fellowship that they've shared together, that they may have been blessed also through the teaching of your word. And we pray also, Lord, that you would bring them back to us safely. We think of the week ahead, and we think of the many things that we have to do in the coming days. We pray for your help and your strength in what we do. We know, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. So we pray that you would empower us and help us to live our lives for you in such a way that all the glory and all the praise may go to your name. We pray for our government this morning. We pray for our king. And we thank you, Lord, that we can bring them before you, that they need wisdom, that they need help. And we pray that this may be forthcoming, that they may guide the people of this country well, and that they may speak well into their lives. We know it's a difficult job. We know that there are struggles. We know that there are many problems. But we pray, Lord, that you would help those who govern us to be able to look to you and to seek guidance and help from you. We thank you for the Christians that are in Parliament, both at Westminster and at Holyrood. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on them. We pray that they may have a great influence in those that they serve alongside. So thank you, Lord, that we are able to come to you with these our prayers. Thank you for what you're doing in each of our individual lives and for us as a fellowship. We pray, Lord, for your blessing on our families, on our friends, and we pray that you would help us also to show your love and your grace to all those that we come in contact with. To the praise and to the glory of your name, and we ask this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. We're going to sing another hymn before we turn to God's word, and it's Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And each and every one of us this morning, we pray that we'll turn our eyes upon Jesus. And if you're able, we'll stand and sing.
Behold you, a Savior ever true, O Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. O Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
I want to say this morning that trust plays a big part in our daily lives. This morning, Harry was picking us up to bring us here. And of course, when I got into Harry's car, the first thing I had to do was trust them to actually drive properly and to get me here. You did a great job, Harry.
Yeah.
And of course, there are many, many instances where we have to trust, isn't there? For instance, if you're going on holiday and you get in an aeroplane, you have to trust the aeroplane's not going to fall apart in the skies, and you also have to trust the pilot. If you're crossing a bridge, you have to trust that that bridge will hold you and get you across safely. There are loads of different examples of trust, isn't there? But this morning I want us to think about how we trust God. How we trust God. You know, if we profess to be Christians this morning, and of course if you're a Christian, that means we have realized that we're sinners, that we need salvation, and we've responded to the gospel who points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has provided that salvation for us on the cross. So that's what makes a Christian. It's not living a good life. It's not trying to please God. It's not coming along to church. It's not being able to put something in the offering plate. It's because you're trusting in Jesus and on his finished work on the cross. That's what makes a Christian. So if we're Christians this morning, we need to trust God on a daily basis in every aspect of our life and all the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We trust God. We trust God to give us guidance and help at all times. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the book of Habakkuk. So in case you're not, I want, first of all, so that we can put the chapter into context, the chapter 3 that we've read together, to look at where Habakkuk was in the first two chapters. So as we might understand more fully what made him come to the conclusion that he eventually comes to in chapter 3. So in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, we find that he brought a complaint to God. Or you might say this morning, can we actually complain to God? Well, just read through the Psalms, and you'll see that there are many who brought complaints to God. And Habakkuk, in this book, shows us that he was one who brought a complaint to God. We read this in chapter 1, in verses 1 to 4 of Habakkuk, where he says this. The oracle like Habakkuk the prophet saw. And Habakkuk says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. So in essence, Habakkuk is saying, when I look around, I see an awful lot of sin. And God, I feel, really doesn't care. I feel like God should be doing something, but he doesn't seem to be doing anything. That's quite a statement, isn't it? It's quite a statement to bring before the Lord. Lord, I believe you don't care. Because I look around me and I see what's going on around me, and it seems like you're not doing anything about it. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Do you ever look around at the state of society today and think, Does God even care about what's going on? Well, that's how Habakkuk felt. And at the beginning of this book, he makes his feelings known to God. But the wonderful thing is that we find that God doesn't turn a deaf ear to Habakkuk's complaint. He hears his complaint and he responds to it. He responds immediately. So what was God's response? Well, it was this. Don't worry, Habakkuk, because I do care. And I'm going to do something about it. Before very long, the Babylonians will come in and destroy Judah because of their sin. He was going to bring judgment upon Judah because of their sin. You can well imagine what Habakkuk thought of that. Upset would probably be the understatement of the year. That's why he more or less responds in a way that betrays his feelings. When he comes to God and he says, wait a minute, God, I don't get that. I know Judah's bad. I know that we're surrounded by sin. But you're going to use the Babylonians to bring judgment on them? Really? You're going to use the Babylonians to bring judgment on Judah? They're the most violent, corrupt people on the face of the earth. And you're going to use them as your instruments of judgment. Surely that doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem quite right, does it? But the Bible makes it clear to us that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are not our ways. God knows what he's doing. We only think that we do. Isn't it true that often when we pray, we expect God to answer us according to how we think he should answer? And when his answer is completely different or non-existent, we think he doesn't understand or care. Maybe we've been praying for a situation to change, or that a friend or a family member might be saved, but nothing seems to happen. So we think, wrongly by the way, that God doesn't care. You see, Habakkuk wanted God to do something about the situation in Judah, but he certainly didn't think he would respond in the way that he did. And then when we come into chapter 2 of Habakkuk, God gives Habakkuk a vision. I'm going to read to you from chapter 2, the first 3 verses. For God says this, I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me. Write this vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. It seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. So as the vision is made known to Habakkuk, he learns that God knows what is going on and will certainly deal with it in the way that God feels is right. Just as he will also eventually deal with the Babylonians and their sin. The ones that God is going to use to bring judgment upon Judah, God in his turn will bring judgment upon them also. And even today, isn't it true that we live in a world where we are surrounded by sin and deprivation? You've only got to turn on your television set or listen to the radio, or pick up a newspaper to see what's going on in the world today. And of course, even our own society, the people we live amongst here, give no thought of God, are not interested in God or the reality of God. And God is rejected at every turn. And of course, this enables people to live as if there is no God. And the result is that anything goes. Anything goes. There is no God, so we are not accountable to anybody. But sooner or later, we all face the consequences of the choices that we have made. Nobody is excluded. That's true of nations, and it's also true of individuals. You cannot mock God, and you cannot ignore him and pretend that he isn't there. You cannot do as you please and rebel against God without inviting his judgment. And the Bible makes that very clear to all of us. So in chapter 2, it's made clear to Habakkuk that God's judgment will come upon all the ungodly. There's no escaping it, and that includes the Babylonians. So chapter 1 shows us a man who didn't understand. Habakkuk, a man who didn't understand, who came to God with his complaint. And then in chapter 2, we see that God is saying to Habakkuk, be patient and wait. Be patient and wait and see what I'm going to do. So Habakkuk, bless him, took to heart what God was saying. So that when we arrive at chapter 3, we find a different Habakkuk. No longer filled with confusion and worry. That had been replaced with faith and confidence in God. So how did that transition come about? Nothing around them had changed. The people were still mocking God. The evidence of sin was around every corner. The Babylonians were still going to come in. They were coming in to attack Jerusalem. Everything was still as it was. Exactly as it was when he first cried out to God. Nothing had changed on the outside. But something had changed in the heart of that troubled prophet. And what brought about the change is revealed to us in chapter 3 as we examine Habakkuk's prayer. So in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter, it says this. O Lord, I have heard the report of your work. O Lord, do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran and covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. It tells us, doesn't it, that Habakkuk looked back and remembered that all that God had done in the past. Is able to recall all the wonderful stories that had been passed down concerning God's mighty deeds. And as he did so, he was able to say, Lord, you did all that before, so please, please do it again. Do it again. Isn't it true that when we find ourselves in a barren period in our lives, a time when nothing seems to be happening, that it's always good to bring your memory into play and remember that God is a God who is able to do great and wonderful things. He did it in the past. And we need to believe that he is more than able and capable to do it all again. But always in his own time. Always in his own time. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his timing is always perfect. As for us, we can look back and remember, I'm sure, some wonderful answers to our own prayers. I had a mother who was a lovely, godly woman. She trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation when she was a young lady, and she lived as a Christian throughout her entire life. And I know that she prayed for me every single day, just as she prayed for my other brothers and my sister. She prayed and she trusted God. She was patient and she waited on God. And lo and behold, her son Derek was eventually brought to church, had his eyes opened to the truth, and responded to the gospel, and he put his trust in Jesus. That was 47 years ago. God answers prayer. He might not answer prayer in the way that we want him to, but he always answers prayer. He often keeps us waiting. But in that waiting, isn't it true that he's always teaching us something? And the main lesson he teaches us is trust. To trust. To trust. So surely Habakkuk here teaches us that sometimes it's important to look back. And I'm sure there are many of us here today who can look back in our lives and thank God for the way that he answered our prayers. In many situations that we find ourselves in. And we can look back and we can remember that God is a faithful God, full of mercy and full of grace. Someone once said that the more Habakkuk knew about the planner, the more he was able to trust his plans. You see, it's not as if Habakkuk suddenly had this amazing light bulb moment and came to understand all that God was doing. It's not that at all. In fact, at the end of the book, Habakkuk doesn't really understand any more than he did at the beginning. But he came to the realization that it doesn't really matter as long as he knows and understands that God is in control. And that God would work out his perfect plan in his own time. What a valuable lesson that is to learn. To trust in God. To wait on God. And to know that God knows exactly the right time to act and the right thing to do. That's our God. So we see that that change to Habakkuk's thinking came about when he looked back. Habakkuk remembered especially the Exodus, the time spent in the wilderness, and the crossing of the Jordan River as he entered Canaan. That was a time when God repeatedly performed spectacular miracles. But the implication was there. If God could do that then, and if God doesn't change, then surely he can do it again. Surely he can do it again. Habakkuk uses very poetic language to recall how God delivered his people from slavery and oppression. How he led them to their destination, despite their grumbles and their complaints. He remembers how they were provided for and the way God defeated the enemies that stood before them. He remembered how God displayed his power and his glory in such an amazing way. He remembered the pillar of fire and the cloud that were a constant guide as they travelled towards their destination. He remembered the parting of the waters when all seemed lost. He remembered all that he needed to remember in order to remind him just how great God is. Whenever we get confused and upset about what's going on in our lives or in the world around us, we need to remember. We need to remember that God doesn't change. He's the same God as he was yesterday. He's the same God today, and he will be the same God tomorrow. Remember the wonderful things that God has done. So sometimes what we need is a fresh vision of exactly who God is. The wonderful thing is we have our Bibles, all 66 books in the Bible. And those books contain all that God requires us to know about himself and all that he is able to do. And of course, if we are Christians this morning, if we are trusting in Christ for salvation, if you have put all your trust in him and possess the hope that Jesus alone can give, then we have an even greater memory of what God has done than Habakkuk ever did. Although Habakkuk was able to look forward to all that God was going to accomplish, we can look back and see God's great plan of salvation fulfilled on the cross. Do you want to know how much God loves you? Do you want to know how much God cares for you? Do you want to know about God's mercy? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. So we can look back and see God's great plan of salvation fulfilled on that cross. Like Habakkuk, we can look, unlike Habakkuk, sorry, we can look at the cross, and sometimes looking at the cross can confuse us. For many, the cross is an offense, and the message of the cross to many is foolishness. I have lots of friends who I sometimes have the opportunity to share the gospel with. They're worldly. They have no thought of God whatsoever. And when you share the gospel with them, inevitably their response is, how do you possibly believe that? How do you possibly believe that? And then I'm able to explain to them why I believe it and the difference that makes to my life. But there are many who look at the cross and they think it's foolishness. Why would God act in this way? Why would God send his son into the world to live a perfect life? Why would God send his son to the cross? Why would God allow his son to suffer on the cross? I'll tell you why. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. And because he wants to demonstrate how much he loves you in Christ. So on the cross, we see God's love and mercy and grace displayed in the most amazing way. You see, for many, the cross might look like a defeat. But what took place on the cross is actually a glorious victory. You see, for all who put their trust in the one who endured the cross, we find ourselves that we are now on the victory side. We can trust what took place on the cross to be true because we know that our Saviour is true and we know that what our Saviour says to us is truth. So if you ever think that God doesn't care, look to the cross. Look to what Christ achieved on the cross. And then look at the resurrection. You see, Jesus is a wonderful Saviour. And we as Christians have a great hope in him. A hope that's only found in him alone. So if we are trusting in Jesus, we need to learn the lesson that Habakkuk learned. I'm going to read to you from chapter 3, verses, the end of verse 16 to verse 19, where it says this. I hear and my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters into my bones, my legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. What Habakkuk is saying to us here is this. That throughout all the circumstances of our life, no matter what's going on in our life, you can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. Be sure of it. Now that may be a hard lesson to learn, but it's an important one. So what do you do when things seem to be going wrong in your life? What do you do when you are experiencing hardship, loss, pain, and uncertainty? What do you do? Well, you could get angry with God, or you could give up on God altogether. Or you could choose to trust God, despite your circumstances, just like Habakkuk did at the end of chapter 3. God can be trusted because he knows what he's doing. It was the need to trust that inspired Francis Ridley Havergal to write a lovely hymn. A hymn about trust. She knew and she loved the Lord, and she also knew the importance of trusting. So she wrote this amazing hymn. And she says in the hymn, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Trusting only thee. Trusting thee for full salvation, great and free. I am trusting thee for pardon. At thy feet I bow. For thy grace and tender mercy, trusting now. I am trusting thee for cleansing in the crimson flood, trusting thee to make me holy by thy blood. I am trusting thee to guide me. Thou alone shall lead every day and hour, supplying all my need. I am trusting thee for power. Thine can never fail. Words which thou thyself shall give me must prevail. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus, never let me fall. I am trusting thee forever and for all. So may each and every one of us come to that place, along with Habakkuk, where we can truly say we are trusting. That we might say, along with Habakkuk, that though the fig tree should not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, the produce of the oil fail and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take my joy in God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in him. Rely upon the Lord. Depend upon the Lord. No matter what your circumstances are like, because God is a God who cares, and God will act in his own time, and God will act in the way that is right. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way you speak to us through your word. We thank you that when we open up your word, you are a God who is able to feed us, because your scriptures tell us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So help us, Lord, to take on board what you've been saying to us today. Help us to trust you. Help us to depend upon you. Help us to look to you, even in the most difficult circumstances of our life, to know that you are a God who will eventually deliver us, that you are a God who will show us the great promises of your salvation to be true. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us as we seek to follow Jesus, that you might be with us every step of the way. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing a great hymn now, and it's "I Know Whom I Have Believed, and I'm Persuaded That He Is Able to Keep That Which I've Committed Unto God Until That Day." So if you're able, we'll stand and sing, and Harry will lead us. Thanks, Harry. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thanks, everyone.